How are we? Welcome back to another 10 Minute Monday. People pleasing is something, and I know a lot of my audience are female, but I know that men do struggle with this too. It just probably comes out in different ways. But people pleasing is something that is so embedded in us as women. Of course, I'm sure, have people pleasing tendencies. I think as human beings, we all do. We're tribe animals, we're pack animals. We are conditioned, we're neurologically wired to want to belong, want to fit in, want to please other people because we don't want to be isolated. We want people to like us. Okay. So that firstly is natural. And I think wanting and needing a little bit of external validation, although it gets a really bad rap, is so normal. And we actually do need that. We do need a little external validation every now and then. In fact, if we only relied on ourselves to validate ourselves, that usually is where narcissistic tendencies come out. We need some people that we know, that we care about, who we value their opinions to validate us sometimes. And that's okay. It's totally normal. However, where it crosses the line and starts to tip into people-pleasing is where we start putting other people's interests above our own all the time. And this can show up a lot in business and in surprising ways. I have a one-on-one client who has come leaps and bounds so quickly since we started working together. And one of the reasons why she came to work with me is she is like, my content seems a little bit flat. I can't really figure out why this is. And when we started working together, I really quickly noticed, and even in the language she used when we spoke, I could see people pleasing coming up a little bit. And I knew that this was 100% one of the reasons why her content wasn't landing that much with her clients. Sure, she was getting fine engagement, she was doing okay, she was making sales still, but not at the cadence that she wanted to. She wasn't bringing the amount that she wanted to. And straight away, I could see that her content was erring on the side of caution. It was a little bit vanilla. And what we tend to find happens with people who value the opinions of others and want the acceptance of others at all costs, even if it means sacrificing a bit of their own wants and needs and their interests and their opinions, the content becomes watered down because you're playing it safe, because you don't want to ruffle feathers. When you start to unashamedly and unapologetically share your opinion, talk about your own experiences, not be afraid to say, hey, this is what I think, this is why I think it, and I'm not apologizing for it. That's when you start to repel, but also when you start to attract people in your audience. We want to do this. In fact, I've got an entire episode about attraction marketing. And in order to attract people, we have to repel other people. You would rather people love you or hate you than think you're fine and nice and not buy from you, because the people that ruffle feathers tend to be the ones that are the thought leaders, that are seen as an expert, that are authorities. And that means that you need to inject you into your content. You need to inject your opinions into your content. And that's how you start to stand out. So that is one of the main ways that I can see people pleasing come out a lot, is through content, because that's one of the most obvious ways. Another way that it can come out is in boundaries with clients. Again, this is something I see so frequently. And a really obvious one is giving too much to your ideal clients. Now, there is nothing wrong with providing. In fact, you need to provide an amazing experience to your clients. You need to provide the support that they need. You need to be there for your clients and make sure that you give a shit about them, obviously. However, if you start giving too much of your own energy, and you can feel this within yourself, sometimes I will go on Voxer at 9 o'clock at night, but I'm okay with that because it's not draining me. But every now and then I'll go on Voxer and I'll be like, do you know what? I feel like I want to reply. Or on the weekend, I'll be like, usually I don't reply on the weekend, but sometimes I'll be like, actually, I fancy replying. It's fine. And I will do it. But you will know within yourself, hopefully. And if you don't, I'm going to invite you to become a bit more introspective and ask yourself what is draining you. And when something is draining us, that's when we're veering into the people pleasing and we're sacrificing our own needs so that we can please other people. So for example, if you have a client that wants you to do a content review, and they're putting on a bit of pressure, they might be like, can you get this round to me today? And they've only given it to you today. And you haven't actually implemented a turnaround period and you haven't communicated that to your ideal client. And you're like, fuck, okay, well, I actually had this thing that I really had to do for my own business today, or I had this other commitment on, but I'm just going to have to, okay, yeah, I'm going to turn it around because I don't want them to be mad at me. That's an example of people pleasing. And I always recommend from the very beginning with your clients to set and manage expectations and to remind them if they forget. I've had to remind clients before, and you can do this in an assertive way. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be some asshole. I think there's this other thing, thinking that confrontation always means that it has to be aggressive, or that you have to be really, you have to come down really hard on people, or that it's always going to backfire. And if we have experiences with vocalizing how we feel and our boundaries and it backfiring, that is what makes us people pleasers, right? You're going to have to train yourself out of this. And this often means there will be discomfort. So if a client did that and they were putting a bit of pressure on you, hey, can you turn this around today? You just need to say, just reminding you that I do have a 48-hour turnaround period. I may be able to, if you think you can get around to it today, you say, I might be able to get around to it today, but I might not. I'm not going to be able to promise anything. I'll be able to get it to you, and you say when it is, definitely by end of day Thursday. And you've set that boundary, and you've reminded them of the boundary. Whenever a client signs up to work with me, I say straight away, I will say how frequently I reply on Voxer. To be honest, I'm in Voxer quite a bit, but I will say normally I'm in Voxer from about 8 o'clock in the morning, my time, to about 5 o'clock at night, my time. Sometimes I go over, sometimes I'll check it later on in the evening, but generally speaking, those are the times. And I'll go into Voxer about 4 or 5 times a day, usually more. And then I'll also say for my content reviews, if you want me to look at something, I have a 48-hour turnaround period. Again, usually I get it back to you within 24 hours, but just to manage expectations, I like to set it 48 hours. So setting those expectations from the very beginning, and then it makes it much easier for A, your client to understand what's expected of them and what they can expect of you, but also for you to remind them if they do cross a boundary later on. And again, this should all be in your contract as well. It doesn't need to be awkward. It just means that you can assertively say, hey, just reminding you that I have a 48-hour turnaround period. I'll be able to get this back to you at the latest by blah, blah, blah date. Done. Simple, easy. How they respond is up to them. And then you can manage that accordingly. Another thing that I see a lot is, again, with clients, is you taking way too much responsibility for their results. This is a people-pleasing thing as well. And I feel like I should do a whole episode on this because there's so much mindset stuff that comes around this. But if you feel so much pressure for a client's results, obviously we want our clients to do well. That's a given. Of course, we care about our clients' results. But if you are taking on all of their failures, all of their wins, that's not good. We don't want that. Our job is not to do the work for them or to get the results for them. We can never guarantee results. We know this. So we can't take on their results as our personal responsibility because it's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to support our clients and to give them the best experience they possibly can, to do our part, and their job is to implement, to be held accountable, to do the work. We can't do that for them. In fact, I am going to do a whole other episode on personal responsibility and taking responsibility for clients' results and providing some perspective shifts as well on that one. I was going to go further. I am going to do a part two on this one because, again, this is something I can create so much content around about people pleasing. But if you resonated with any of the above and you know that you need to work on these things, I am going to leave a link to work with me below. I have one-on-one intensives, which are 3 weeks long, where we can work on these things mindset-wise. Also, we can work on strategy. So if you have problems with things like your messaging or your content, you would also be perfect for my 3-week intensives. I'm going to leave that in the link in the show notes below. I also have longer-term one-on-one coaching as well. But I'm going to leave this one here. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. I will see you on Wednesday's guest expert episode, and I'll talk to you all very, very soon. Bye.